And a mighty suitable thing, too, when you may lay to that. Get back to your place, Tom. And then, as Morgan rolled back to his seat, Silver added to me, in a confidential whisper, that was very flattering, as I thought, "He's quite an honest man, Tom Morgan, only stupid. And now," he ran on again aloud, "let's see, Black Dog. No, I don't know the name. Yet I kind of think I've seen him. He used to come here with a blind beggar, he did." "That he did, you may be sure," said I. "I knew that blind man, too. His name was Pew." "It was," cried Silver, now quite excited. "Pew, that were his name for certain. Ah, he looked like a shark, he did. If we run down this Black Dog, now, there'll be news for Captain Trelawney. Ben's a good runner. Few seamen run better than Ben. He should run him down, hand over hand, by the powers. He talked to keel-hauling, did he? I'll keel-haul him." All the time he was jerking out these phrases, he was stumping up and down the tavern on his crutch, slapping tables with his hand, and giving such a show of excitement as would have convinced an Old Bailey judge or a Bow Street runner. My suspicions had been thoroughly reawakened on finding Black Dog at the Spyglass, and I watched the cook narrowly. But he was too deep and too clever for me, and by the time the two men had come back out of breath and confessed that they had lost the track in a crowd, I would have gone bail for the innocence of Long John Silver. "See here now, Hawkins," said he. "Here's a hard thing on a man like me now, ain't it? There's Captain Trelawney. What's he to think? Here I have this confounded son of a Dutchman sitting in my own house, drinking my own rum. Here you come and tell it of me plain, and here I let him give us all the slip before my blessed deadlights. Now, Hawkins, you do me justice with the captain. You're a lad, you are, but you're smart as paint. I saw that when you first walked in. Now here it is. What could I do with this old timber I hobble on? When I was a master mariner, I'd have come up alongside him, hand over hand, and broached him, too, in a brace of old shakes I would. But now..." And then, all of a sudden, he stopped, and his jaw dropped as though he had remembered something. "The score," he burst out. "3 goes of rum. Why, shiver my timbers, if I hadn't forgotten my score." And falling on a bench, he laughed until the tears ran down his cheeks. I could not help joining, and we laughed together, peal after peal, until the tavern rang again. "Why, what a precious old sea-calf I am," he said at last, wiping his cheeks. "You and me should get on well, Hawkins, for I'll take my Davy I should be rated ship's boy. But come now, stand by to go about. This won't do. Duty is duty, messmates. I'll put on my old cocked hat, and step along of you to Captain Trelawney, and report this here affair. For mind you, it's serious, young Hawkins, and neither you nor me's come out of it with what I should make so bold as to call credit. Nor you neither, says you. Not smart. None of the pair of us smart. But dash my buttons, that was a good un about my score." And he began to laugh again, and that so heartily that, though I did not see the joke as he did, I was again obliged to join him in his mirth. On our little walk along the quays, he made himself the most interesting companion, telling me about the different ships that we passed by, their rig, tonnage, and nationality, explaining the work that was going forward, how one was discharging, another taking in cargo, and a third making ready for sea, and every now and then telling me some little anecdote of ships or seamen, or repeating a nautical phrase till I had learned it perfectly. I began to see that here was one of the best of possible shipmates. When we got to the inn, the squire and Dr. Livesey were seated together, finishing a quart of ale with a toast in it, before they should go aboard the schooner on a visit of inspection. Long John told the story from first to last with a great deal of spirit and the most perfect truth. "That was how it were now, weren't it, Hawkins?" he would say now and again, and I could always bear him entirely out. The two gentlemen regretted that the Black Dog had got away, but we all agreed there was nothing to be done, and after he had been complimented, Long John took up his crutch and departed. "All hands aboard by 4 this afternoon," shouted the squire after him. "Aye, aye, sir," cried the cook in the passage. "Well, squire," said Dr. Livesey, "I don't put much faith in your discoveries as a general thing, but I will say this, John Silver suits me." "The man's a perfect trump," declared the squire. "And now," added the doctor, "Jim may come on board with us, may he not?" "To be sure he may," says Squire. "Take your hat, Hawkins, and we'll see the ship."